Welcome to the Fearless Sellers, the Women of Amazon podcast. I'm Joey Roberts.
If you go into the sustainable route and some environmentally friendly products, actually you're safe in the long run, to be honest. You're thinking you're in it for the long game, you know, so it actually will be more cost effective to sort of invest into those products. And plus also the whole sustainability thing, consumers are actually calling for more of that. And you're going to lose out on customers because there's a big trend at the moment going that, you know, I just did a talk about sustainability.
Welcome to the Fearless Sellers, the Women of Amazon podcast. Today, we are joined by Kitty Lai, a branding master and the visionary founder of Me Brand. With a rich background in branding, packaging, and graphic design, Kitty has shaped the visual identity of numerous retail brands that have captivated the Amazon marketplace. Welcome, Kitty.
Hi, Joy. How are you? Thank you so much for having me here today.
Thanks. I'm so thrilled to have you. And we both got to speak on the online sellers cruise. And I want to take a second. Can we just brag on you for a minute? Will you tell us some of the brands you've worked with?
Sure. So, there's quite a few brands, but I'm not one for bragging, but you asked. So, my background is working for Ted Baker for 10 years. So I managed a team for over 10 years of 8 designers. Then I worked for Cath Kidston, which is another UK brand in homewares and lifestyle. Then I worked with a lot of agencies. So I worked with TK Maxx. In America, it's TJX. I worked with Disney, FitFlop, Vodafone, Virgin Experience, HSBC, so a lot of financial sectors as well. So a lot of sort of smaller brands as well. And I work with a lot of Amazon sellers at the moment. But, you know, I've worked for an array of retail, lifestyle, and banking businesses.
I love it. Oh, to work with Ted Baker. I love all of their designs and just the whole brand is so beautiful. So congrats on all of your success. So excited to dig into your extensive experience in branding and packaging design. So how do you approach creating a brand identity, let's say for a new Amazon seller or maybe a established Amazon seller that is starting with a new product that really wants to stand out in the crowded marketplace?
So what I generally do is do a lot of research. So I see what's out there, what trends are out there as well. So my go-to sources are generally Pinterest, Instagram, and other sort of sources in the industry. But generally, Pinterest is my go-to place and looking at other sort of designs and brand identities. But again, it depends on the competition as well with the Amazon suppliers. So I absolutely sort of look at what they're competing against. And I try not to follow the trend and do exactly what generally Amazon sellers will do. It's just, let's just copy them. I like what they're doing. I'm going to do exactly the same. But with my sort of vast background in design, I tend to have to go against the grain. So it's making something work, making the colors work and logos that actually fit their brand identity. So it's creating the whole personality and tone of voice. So it's not just the logo.
I love that. So you're looking at all of the competing products and you're thinking, you know what? They all are kind of doing the similar thing and we're all going after the same target audience, but you do something to completely stand out. And I love that you brought color into it because color is so big when all you have is your photo that everybody is scrolling through. What's your approach with photos? And look, I own a wallpaper company, a design company. So I'm huge into contrasting colors and eye-catching stuff. So this is super interesting to me. So tell me a little bit about how color plays into it.
Yeah, so color, there's a whole psychology behind color. So it's not just having your favorite colors put on your brand or your logo. And it's generally customers will buy into a particular color for a particular product. So if you walk into a supermarket, a lot of the healthy sort of food brands are like browns and greens and, you know, that sort of kind of color. If you look at fast food brands, if you're creating something that's more fast food and sort of that you'll see lots of reds and yellows as well in that area. And if you're going into sort of a more serious kind of branding, like banks, they generally use blue. So blue depicts trust as well. So there's, and the luxury brands will generally go for blacks and whites as well. So you think that Chanel, DKNY, you know, they are all like black and white. So there are particular colors that product. Yes, love it.
Colors that, my, you know, Chanel people... sweatshirt I'm wearing, my black and white.
Yeah. I've gone for green today. So, you know, it's like a more trusting color as well. And, you know, a more sort of calm color for people sort of, you know, to resonate with me. But yeah, color does play a huge part in what you're going to do in design and how it affects consumers as well and why they're going to buy a particular product. It's generally because of the color.
Yeah, I agree. It stands out. And I love color in general. That green color looks beautiful on you. We're going to put this on YouTube. So if y'all are listening and you want to see what we're wearing, I look terrible because I came back from the gym, but I do love my black and white Chanel sweatshirt. And branding is all around us everywhere you look. And that's the incredible part. And standing out as an Amazon seller, like, what should we all keep in mind when we're designing for our listing photos, but also maybe we could move also into packaging?
Yeah, it's funny you should say that. I just had a client wanting to work with me urgently. I'm actually, you know, he's been hounding me for like a week or 2 weeks now, but I've been away on this cruise event. But his listing images has been a bit of a nightmare to say. His photographer has actually created some images for him, but he's having an issue with every time he's asked for an idea, they keep coming back with one idea. It's not like several ideas. So nothing looks cohesive. So I just saw these images last night. Literally, it was at 10 o'clock at night for me. So I was just looking, checking my like WhatsApp, and he sent them through. But okay, I'm about to sleep, but I'll have a look because he really needs my help. But I looked at them and they are not consistent. So they've created all these lifestyle images, all these product images separate to seeing it as a whole listing, really. So they're creating separate images at separate times and nothing's consistent. So I think creating images is so important and making sure that the creative is fun. And this, for my particular brand that I'm working with, this client, it has to be fun. And I created a whole tone of voice for it, but, and the brand guidelines as well. So he could actually take it away and give it to photographers or VAs or other graphic designers to follow, but the photographer's not followed what I've set out for my client. So it just looks like any other brand. The images just look like, I can say it's obviously in the food category. So it's a product that he's selling. He's selling the product, but all the imagery look different. And they just do not gel. It doesn't scream fun. It doesn't scream, you know, the product. There's no personality to it. And it's like, he's just taken a stock photo, put the images in front and photoshopped it in. So I have to sort of really sort of look at that. And I think Amazon sellers really need to think about the lifestyle images that they create, how the product stands out, because it's not just a flat image. You might think actually flat would work, but turn it on its side. And it's a bit more interesting because you capture the side and the front as well. So it's just different angles and different ways of presenting your product.
Yeah, you just made me think of something that I've seen trending a bit on Amazon. Is the 3D images. What do you think about those?
3D images, as in the product in a 3D sense?
Yes, like I've seen that on a few Amazon listings, and it's almost like there's like a 360 view where you can click on it and kind of take a tour.
Yeah, I think that works. I mean, that gives the consumer an actual more realistic view of the product. So I know a lot of brands do that, and you can actually spin the whole product around. Retail does it a lot for like shoes and packaging, you know, other sort of clothes, and you can see the whole way around. And if your product warrants it, then, you know, you can do that. But if it's just a generic standard product, I don't think it really needs to. Like a spatula, you know what that looks like. You don't need to do a 360 on something like that. So it really depends what your product is. Maybe if you're into electronics or something a bit more sort of high end, that might be worth sort of considering.
Yeah, that's true. It always depends what you're selling. And especially with packaging design, I'll tell you my first brand in 2021, I launched and the box was just like a plain cardboard box. And then I started getting my sales and I did branding on the box, I would say like minimum branding on the box. And now with my new products that are geared towards women and they're pretty, I want them to look pretty, I spend so much more time and money on the packaging because it's something that I want to sit out on somebody's makeup counter. And so let's talk about that. Like, when is a good time to maybe up your packaging design? And like, what products should really have amazing packaging?
I think you should up your game right now. If Amazon sellers are watching, I mean, if you've just got a plain box with just the logo on, I mean, that's not enough. I mean, some brands can get away with it, but I think in general, it's the whole anticipation of having the product and opening the box up as well, especially if you're into luxury goods or beauty products. I mean, I had a mascara I bought recently and the box is glittered around it and it was just so beautiful. It was just a box, but I opened it up and the whole tube is actually glittered sort of all the way around, as well as metallic glitter, but the box was so beautiful I haven't thrown it away, so I've got it here somewhere. But you know, it's only a mascara, but I just didn't want to throw the box away. But
I love it.
And I do collect a lot of packaging. I am a bit of a hoarder for that. But, you know, when I see something beautiful, and that's what you want. You want a reminder. I'm not throwing it away because if my mascara runs out, and I have got hundreds of different mascaras, but, you know, I might look at that and go, oh, yeah, I'm going to get that again. But, you know, it's packaging and branding. It's the reminder that you want to give your customers. So it's like being there in the present with your packaging. So I think definitely if you can dress it up, I would do, and just make it look amazing. And again, depends on what your product is, but I think even the most boring products, you can actually make something look really nice and appealing.
Yes, good point. And especially with so much social media and the unboxing and user generated content going out, I've thought over the past like couple of years way more about the experience that buyers feel when they get your package. And you nailed it when you said you kept the packaging design of the mascara because then you want to go and repurchase from them. And maybe their mascara is decent and good, but it's the packaging that really pushed you over the edge to reorder.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's the whole SIOC packaging as well with Amazon. So you're shipping in your own container. SIOC ships in own container. So it's your own branded boxes. You're not using Amazon boxes anymore. So that gets shipped directly to the customer. They don't get the Amazon boxes. And I know it frustrates some people that order from Amazon. They get so many a box within a box. But if you're shipping in your own branding, again, you know, you're getting firsthand, customers to remember your brand and resonate and actually get that brand experience from you.
Yes, good advice. So we kind of started to talk about a pitfall that you faced with a client where you gave direction, it maybe wasn't followed. Let's go into kind of the in-depth part of your collaborating with Amazon brands, and you've worked with very well-known retail brands, like you know your stuff, right? Like, I know you're an expert, but then you're collaborating with Amazon sellers and brands. What are some common pitfalls that you have observed that our listeners, new sellers or experienced sellers, can avoid?
I think the pitfalls is all Amazon sellers think they're designers. So I think, you know, sort of having, you know, some control is fine and having an idea of what you want is fine. But when you become the designer and you tell the designer what you actually want, that doesn't give the designer freedom to do what actually they are paid to do for you. And so a lot of the time the customer, obviously the Amazon client, they don't really know what they want. And my job is to problem solve for them and give them an array of concepts for them to look at, because I work with a lot of them. They're always hesitant. Well, I'm not sure what I'm going to get. And then I give them this presentation and they're like, oh, wow, I wasn't expecting that. And they've got so many different ideas. Well, I like that one, but I also like that one. And I do like that. And then we can sort of mix and match as well. So, you know, it's not just you having one idea and knowing what you want as a seller, because as a designer, we're set up to be creative and give you something completely different. And generally that's what I do. They generally go for something. Actually, they've not even thought about that. Oh, well, okay. So it's a different shape now because I didn't think of that. And, you know, that's the sort of creativity you need to give a design. And I think that's the pitfall when designers do not have enough control in terms of what they're trying to deliver an Amazon seller. And again, when they won't let go of their logo, yeah. They designed it themselves. Oh, I don't want to change it. And I generally tweak the logo slightly. If they won't change it, I will tweak it if I think it's not right. And generally they think, oh, actually that's better now, you know. And you know, that's the thing.
Do you think it's their ego like that gets in the way? Cause it's like, oh, I designed it, I think it's great. And it's like, well, you're trying to sell a product and make money.
I think a bit of both. And sometimes it's because they've already trademarked the logo. So that's a little bit difficult for them. Mm. Oh, but you know, I can't really change it. And the color's completely wrong. It doesn't suit what you're trying to do with your brand. So often if they've trademarked it, they are less reluctant to let it go.
That makes sense too. Yeah, they've already spent money, time trademarking. Yeah, I could see that. And what about testing? So as I'm an Amazon selling coach, and I always tell people, you know, people ask me my opinion, and I was like, I'll give you my personal opinion, but let's test it. And there's softwares out there that will, you know, put up a bunch of images, like PicFu. They'll put up a bunch of images and you can test against it. Is that what you do, or you just use your expertise?
I generally use my expertise, but then if the Amazon owner is not sure about which one to go with, then I tell them to use PicFu or Product Pinion and go and actually run a poll and see what works best. Because generally, at the end of the day, the client needs to be happy with what they're actually wanting. So I kind of sort of am a bit impartial. I know what I like, and I would suggest, well, this one works, but at the end of the day, I will give them two options anyway. Both would work. Both designs would work, but it's at the end of the day, it's whatever the customer wants.
So if it's an established seller and you're looking at their logo or their packaging design, you're like, you know what? You're going to elevate your audience. You're going to get more sales if you change it. Well, what do you do about the transition so that they don't lose their current customer base that is so used to seeing their same, like, you know, yellow and blue design, and now you're going to completely revamp it and elevate it?
I think I've seen it happen a lot, actually, with bigger sellers and other bigger companies. And I guess it's being transparent and telling your customers, we're about to change. We're going to do something different. You know, this is what's happening with our brand. We're getting a new logo done. And if you just tell them through your social media, through email newsletters, or however you communicate with your audience, if they know that's coming, then there's no issue. And generally, if they want to change a logo, it should be just a tweak, really. They don't need to change it drastically. You don't need to change your name. Maybe it is a color change, a slight color change, but don't remove yourself so far that it's completely different and unrecognizable. Mm. Generally, it would be a slight change. You know, the transition of Coca-Cola. It's hardly changed over like 100 years. You know, it's barely changed. And, you know, you see big brands just have small tweaks. So I wouldn't go too far. But again, it's just communicating with your audience.
And how, so when you were with Ted Baker, you said what, 10 years?
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. So what were, take me through, I'm just so curious, like branding updates to still keep that like hearty, masculine, like chic feel of Ted Baker. Like how did you make tweaks to like stay with transitions?
Yeah. So the Ted Baker logo was set up as a box with a line around it. And that was it for a very long time. Then they started creating sub brands. So they had the Ted Baker Kids, they had Ted Baker Woman, they had Ted Baker Accessories, and loads of different. And that's when I first joined. It's like, why is there so many brands? It's like sub brands, and it just it's just Ted Baker. It can't be this. And literally it honed down back to the one, and then the Baker boy and the Baker girl, the Teddy boy and girls. But that was it. But, you know, for like 5 years, we were like living with all these sub brands, which did not work very well. So we went back to, well, we still had the Ted Baker logo anyway. But as we were growing, we simplified it in a way that you could have two different logos. So one with the box and one without the box. But the beauty of it, of working with the Ted Baker logo, was that you didn't have to stick to just the one color. It could actually change. So, you know, and you, if you set that in your brand guidelines, it's absolutely fine. The corporate colors is a particular tone, it's a blue tone, but also black. But depending on what we do marketing wise, we could change it to a green or a purple or another color. So, you know, we could actually morph like a chameleon, really. And not many brands do that. And as long as you've set it in your guidelines that it can do that. But it's got to a stage where it's so recognizable. So it didn't really matter what color it was. But generally, on websites and other communications, it's black and white.
Yeah, very cool. And there are so many brands. And that one you were talking about, just Ted Baker and all his brands, I can think of big brands that have so many different brands underneath them. Like, I don't even know. I mean, you would know, but it's like Banana yeah. Republic and Gap. Like, everything is so intertwined, mm-hmm. but so separate.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what if somebody wants to do a very easy refresh on a product in general as an Amazon seller? Like, what do you think is something that listeners could even take action on today to give their brand just a little bit of refresh? And I'm thinking of this because some of us have been selling for a long time. And yeah, we might tweak our copy and our keywords, but sometimes it is good to tweak and do a refresh where you're not shocking people, but it's still getting attention.
I think you could probably simplify a few things, maybe on the label. I mean, I see a lot of brands that are heavily covered in text and lots of imagery or too much color. I think maybe you can scale back a little bit and then make it look completely different, but yet still the same. I don't think there needs to be too many tweaks. Perhaps you might want to just change the shape of the product. So if it's in a bottle or a particular box, maybe you could change the opening or the style of it as well. So you don't need to move too far away. But if you've had it for over 8 years or 5 years, then you might want to tweak it a little bit and give it a bit of freshness as well. So maybe even the materials. So if you're using a plain kind of board material, you might want to matte laminate it or give it a new sort of feel to it as well. And that's all it needs, really.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. Even changing like I have a bottle that I'll print a label on, like even just changing it to be like a shimmery label versus mm-hmm. like the matte just feels like a little fancier to me. I'm like, ooh, you look so fresh.
Yeah. Love it.
All right. So when we started off this podcast, you dropped the word Pinterest for research. And I am a huge Pinterest fan for marketing and knowing trends. Would you recommend listeners and me and sellers look on Pinterest for what's happening with trends for packaging design and future trends? Or how do you find your trends?
Definitely. I mean, I've been looking at Pinterest for 10 years or since it's actually launched, and I'm a bit gutted that everyone's got onto the Pinterest wagon now. And I didn't want to tell anyone about it for years, but there's like, you know, everyone's going onto it now. So, you know, it's fine, but there's more and more brands going on there, uploading their packaging and images. And it's a lot of things to take in. Back 5 years ago, there wasn't so much, but now it's just saturated with so much information and visual, sort of really visual, stuff on there. I love it, and I create so many boards as well. So if you're new to it, you can create little boards and put your own sort of research mood board things together. I generally sort of pop them in different folders, like packaging, logo, colors, and then other things related to a particular product, and I actually hide some of them as well, so people can't see what I'm actually tucking away into my little folders. I've got hundreds of them. But yeah, it's definitely a place to start looking if you're looking for ideas for packaging, and definitely go on there. If you're looking for ideas on logos, definitely go on there, and layout in general as well. So I think that's a very good place to start.
I love it. And for yourself, being in branding for so long, what are you excited about? Like the future of branding and packaging? Like, what's super fun for you and what are you looking forward to the rest of this year?
I'm just looking for everything to be beautiful and really nice looking. And it's when I see the shocking stuff, it's like, oh, now I have to close my eyes. But no, but it's getting everyone's brands to a particular standard. And that's what really sort of brings me joy, when I can help others to do that as well. When you see their packet there before and then thereafter, you think, actually, I've done something good. But also the fact that sustainability and bringing that into your packaging and your products and what you do in your business as well, that's something I want to see more businesses doing. I look forward to a world with, you know, more sustainable products, more sustainable packaging, and doing a bit more for the environment.
So sustainability is important to all of us, and I'm assuming, but I'm probably right, that everybody listening would love to have eco-friendly packaging. But when I hear that, it just sounds really expensive. And especially if you haven't even launched your product, you don't have sales coming in, it's like, yeah, I want that, but it feels expensive. What do you say when clients like say exactly what I just said to you?
It's not expensive. No, not at all. I mean, a lot of suppliers now are on board with sustainable products and papers and boards and materials. So it actually is not that expensive as you actually think it is. If you go into the sustainable route and sort of environmentally friendly products, actually you're saving in the long run, to be honest. You're thinking you're in it for the long game, you know. So it actually will be more cost effective to sort of invest into those products. And plus also the whole sustainability thing, consumers are actually calling for more of that. And you're going to lose out on customers, because there's a big trend at the moment going that, you know, I just did a talk about sustainability, and consumers are actually asking for brands to have more sustainable packaging, sustainable products, and just the whole way of their brand. And, you know, they will actually actively look for brands and Google search for brands that are sustainable. And if you're not, you're going to lose out on those customers. So I think the way consumers think is actually changing, and in the next 5 years it will sort of be that in that direction. So if you're not starting to think about it right now, you're going to lose out. And I think, you know, it's going that way, so I would suggest strongly to do that.
And it's a marketing point, right? You can say, hey, my packaging is sustainable, because on my brand, I have so many call outs like gluten-free, soy-free. So I might as well also add in that the packaging is sustainable. I love that advice. All right. That was eye-opening. I was thinking you were going to say it is expensive at first, but it pays off in the long run. But I think when I was hearing you talk, I was thinking about it. It's like sustainability isn't new. It's just the direction that most people want to go, but probably have a block and haven't gone that way. And since it's not new, it shouldn't be as expensive as it used to be.
Yeah. I mean, I've been doing using sustainable methods for 20 years, over 20 years, actually. When at Ted Baker, I was using FSC credited boards when it was much more expensive. My suppliers would use vegetable inks or soy inks when they print. Mm. The ink, so it's not oil based, so it's much better for the environment. But nowadays, I think maybe a little tip actually is when you go to your suppliers and you're printing like packaging or biodegradable bags, they might have excess of the packaging. They might be printing for somebody else. So if you can piggyback on someone's production run when they're buying the materials in, you could probably save a bit of money as well that way, because, you know, there might be big firms that are actually printing about hundreds of thousands of boxes in a particular board. Maybe you could ask them, is there something, if you're not in a rush for your packaging, could you ask them and say, well, if you're running back, do you think you could run on mine on that same board, or, you know, the materials as well? So you could probably save a bit of money that way if you're still thinking it's expensive. But yeah, you could do that.
I'll tell you, for my wallpaper company, I don't offer any wallpaper, ink, printing, anything that is not 100% eco-friendly and passes all the LED requirements. Mm. I don't even offer the paper. Like, none of the paper have smells. Everything is sustainable. I've done hospitals. Mm. I've done Under Armour's building. So it's really important to me that what goes on the wall will not impact anybody. So I don't even sell like the wallpaper stuff. People ask me all the time, oh, you know, is this PVC free? I'm like, of course. Have you looked at me? Like, I would never sell anybody a product that I wouldn't use myself.
You're my kind of girl. Love it.
I love it. Well, before we say goodbye, do you have any advice for brands, Amazon sellers that you could share with us to leave us with?
I would probably advise to actually look at your brand, give it a bit of an audit. So if you've been trading for a while and sort of left it, I think it's time to have a little look at what you actually have as a brand and your products as well, and see whether you're still on trend and see whether you're slightly lagging behind in design wise or, you know, whatever. But I would say give it a little bit of love, you know, because I think as Amazon owners, you're looking at the stats, you're looking at the data, the metrics, and then you forget about, it's selling. But maybe you could do a little tweak and it might sell a little bit more. So I think giving it a bit of love and a refresh, perhaps, maybe you don't need it, but I think it's definitely worth having a bit of an audit of what's your packaging look like. Do you actually have a brand? Does it have a tone of voice? Does it have a personality? Are you on social media? Where are you reaching out to them and how are you talking to them? So I think it's building that whole brand behind your business as well. And a lot of Amazon sellers don't have that at the moment.
Agreed. Great advice. And Kitty, you are a beautiful human. And thank you for making the world around us a little prettier.
Thank you. So nice. It's been so great to be on there here. So.
Well, until next time, stay fearless.
If you're already selling on Amazon or you're looking to get started and you want my help, go to amzfearless.com to book a free strategy selling session. We can see if we can help you out. That's amzfearless.com. Talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to the Fearless Sellers, the Women of Amazon podcast. Until next time, stay fearless.